The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani back from Las Vegas. Thank you to Paul and Michael Escarrow for filling in on Friday. Oh, it was a long and short weekend in Las Vegas all at the same time. It went by so fast that I didn't really get to put in any bets, which was kind of unfortunate. Sad face. But maybe it will be for the best because I didn't lose any money. And as you guys know, if you don't lose any money in Las Vegas, that is a win. So
I was going to say, that's a massive
from
win.
From that standpoint, at least we won. But a lot of basketball, obviously, to get into today, especially Hawaii basketball. Just want to make sure everybody knows in the beginning, or for the Rainbow Wahine, they had received an automatic bid into the inaugural WBIT, which they will play this Thursday at 4 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time against Cal, and you can watch that game on ESPN+. We will talk about the women's game and that disappointing loss on Friday, and also tell you more about their upcoming match and the brackets itself in the WBIT. I know it's very, very new to a lot of people because they're like, what is the WBIT? I had to kind of explain it to some of the people that we were with because it's not a lot of people know about it. So we'll tell you about that coming up in the show. But because the women are still continuing, we will get to that later. But I did want to at least do a kind of a recap on the UH men's team because their offseason officially comes to an end after that loss against UC Davis. A heartbreaker, 68-65 on Friday. And obviously, they don't move on to play in any other or get invited to any other postseason tournament. So I just kind of want to recap that and then just put a lid on the entire season. So as we said, it was tough. I mean, Hawaii, I at least want to start off with the positive and the fact that they at least made it a game down the stretch.
A win.
They were down by almost 20 points. I believe 17 to be exact was the biggest deficit that they were down. And trust me, a lot of us fans that were there were just like, because they went down quick. Like, it's like we had no answer. UC Davis was just making everything. And it felt like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a very, very long game and a sad game. But shout out to the Rainbow Warriors for at least making it a game down the stretch. Again, the final score 68-65. Down the stretch, it could have gone either way, that foul that was called against Justin McCoy. You know, at the time, where I'm very, very livid because it's kind of one of those, like, come on, refs, like, it should be a no call. Paul, you said it the best in our text where Elijah Pepper was a bit off balance, so it made it look worse than it was. But nonetheless, there were a bunch more questionable calls that shouldn't have even been fouls in the first place. So from the referee standpoint, if they're just going with X's or, you know, black and white, I guess that's a foul nonetheless. But it comes with the discretion part, right? Whereas a lot of times referees, especially in these big tournaments, games that mean a lot, they will tend to let the teams play out because you don't want it to essentially come down to this type of a call. But Hawaii didn't do themselves any favors, I must say. Continuing on our positive note first, 91% from the free throw line. Missed two from free throws. So Coach Koo here cannot get upset that, hey, shoulda, coulda, woulda, because it is rare that you will ever make 100% of your free throws. So 21 for 23 by far. I didn't get to look back, but I want to say this is probably one of, if not the best, they've shot from the free throw line this entire season. So
for over 20 attempts, I would, without looking, feel pretty confident in saying for over 20 attempts, especially considering even the guy who missed those two in Bernardo da Silva shot above what his season average from the charity stripe is. He hit 4 of 6, and you know, you saw him have a nice day overall from that standpoint. So I don't know. It was definitely a good performance from the free throw line. Can't blame it on that.
Yeah. And overall, I mean, we look at percentage-wise, shooting, they were relatively even. I mean, from behind the arc. Hawaii made 6 out of 15 of their 3-point shots, and UC Davis was 5 for 16. So it's not like Davis was getting crazy from downtown.
Boy, it felt like more than that, man.
Right? No, and that's why when you look at the box score, I'm like, oh, because it just, I feel like maybe the ones that they made were just like the daggers that wouldn't allow us to chip away and get that solid lead. But again, down the stretch, they made it entertaining. You had, you know, Akita Jacobs, speaking of three-pointers, making two clutch threes. So it did get really exciting down the stretch. I do believe, and I wish we could have gotten a little bit more from Justin McCoy. I remember on Thursday's show, I was talking about, the X factor for the CSUN game was, hey, what about, like, I felt like Justin McCoy was kind of the X factor. Justin and Bernardo were the X factors in those games. And I kind of thought that was the case going throughout the tournament, because they have been the ones that have tended to be inconsistent throughout the season. I mean, everyone's had kind of their ups and downs, but Noel has been pretty solid. You know, Ryan Rapp, we grew to expect a lot from him, considering in the beginning we're like, wow, Ryan Rapp got a starting position. But he really started to show up when he needed to. This game was a little bit difficult to take in, again, because we felt very much like they were capable of winning, and it was too little, too late, in a sense. And Elijah Pepper, man, that guy, like,
he's a pro. He's a pro.
I love that guy only because, well, I didn't love him that day, of course. I was yelling like crazy at him because he does tend to flop, but hey, that's all the gamemanship. But
like I said, he's a pro.
Yeah, taking it out of it. You know what? I love that guy just because he looks like someone that just plays pickup basketball at 24 Hour Fitness. If you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, he just has like this normal looking body, and he's just a baller. Like, he's not someone that you would expect to be as good as he is. But also, that's where you got to give him a lot of credit for just his basketball IQ and the athleticism that he does have. But he... I love that guy. Like, he just...
I'm glad you say it like that, and I'm glad you bring it up, and we do want to give him his flowers. He was the Big West...
Thank goodness we won't see him next year.
Oh, my God, yeah. Thank God he's gone. Big West Conference Player of the Year this year, a great year from him, the, I believe, all-time leading scorer in UC Davis history. He's phenomenal, and like you said, he looks like a guy you'd go and see at your local YMCA, and you'd go against, and... then when he's giving you buckets, you'd be pissed off. He really is a phenomenal player, and he made some big-time shots down the stretch that ended up sinking Hawaii when it felt like the Rainbow Warriors had all the momentum down the stretch. And like you said, trying to stay with our positive streak with it, where they could have put their head down after starting the second half exactly how the game started, where you see UC Davis starts out blazing hot, an 11-2 run straight out of the locker rooms. It was probably worse than that, but I remember the 11-2 run specifically. And from there, it's very easy to tuck the tail and say, well, see, it was a good season, fellas. And they fought all the way back. You have a shot about 5 seconds left for Javon McClanahan that Javon felt good about, and I felt good about. I feel like every fan watching it felt good about. It's not a bad shot.
Oh, we were like ready to celebrate.
He got the separation. It's Javon. He has the history of knocking down shots, and sometimes it just doesn't go your way. And it didn't go your way that time. You unfortunately put yourself in too big of a hole and end up falling short. And the biggest shame of it all, I think, from where I sat, was that it really did feel like it was wide open, because Long Beach State taking down UC Irvine in the other side of the bracket, Irvine making the NIT, the last team selected for the NIT. They were helped out by 6 high major pro or power 6 schools saying no to the tournament. So how's that new rules working out for you, NCAA? Anyway, sorry, that's a total other tangent. But it felt wide open afterwards. And I do want to give out a shout out to Long Beach State as well for winning the whole darn thing.
Oh yeah, and Dan Munson. Players playing for Dan Munson.
Yeah, what an awesome story that is. And it was a shame from that standpoint, from where I sat, where it felt like this Hawaii team really did have that chance to go to the tournament, and it just fell short. You just ran out of gas right at the end there. And unfortunately, sometimes that's how the cookie crumbles. We are so thankful for the fight that they did show. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, it would have been very, very easy for them to just kind of pack it in and say, all right, the season's done. But that's not who this team is or was all year. Think about the way they started conference play at 2-6. They ended the year the same way that they, you know, went through the entire thing. Yeah, it wasn't always pretty, but they were going to fight really, really hard for the state of Hawaii. And for that, I am incredibly thankful for them.
Yeah, and they had a lot of fans to fight for. I mean, shout out to all the fans that made the trip. We essentially had the home court advantage in every single game. And considering how far everyone comes from, like, and shout out to all of the band. We bring the full band, the cheerleaders, the dancers, and then, like, a bunch of green in the stands for all of the games. So shout out to everyone that made the trip there. Even fans that obviously that live on the continent and in Las Vegas that came to support. We, by far, considering that all of the other schools, it's a lot of easier travel for them to come over to Las Vegas from California. But no, the Hawaii fans showed up and showed out. So I'm glad, like you said, proud that these guys could show some fight, because when you look at the final box score, as we mentioned, UC Davis having a 17-point lead was the biggest lead at one point. That was at 13:57 in the second half. Hawaii led none of the time, so completely zero, but fought back, almost bringing it where we could have at least had a chance, maybe gone into overtime, make it really, really exciting, made their free throws. 15 turnovers, so it's not necessarily anything substantial. It's kind of like the number that we're somewhat used to with this team, where they've had that many turnovers and wins. And we did feel like we had a chance, right? This was UC Davis. This was not a UC Santa Barbara who were like, oh my goodness, they tend to have a number. Cal State Fullerton, where you're just like, oh my gosh, what could possibly go wrong, that you're going into it thinking historically and like all the precedent before, what's going to happen? But UC Davis, we're like, you know what? We split the regular season. They're very much, they don't have the same type of size or length like an Irvine or like a CSUN that Hawaii just faced. Yes, Elijah Pepper is someone that deserves to be respected, but for the most part, we match up very, very well with UC Davis. And it was just, yeah, one of those things. Came out a little slow. Maybe there was some fatigue that set in. Maybe this double bye helped UC Davis and for Hawaii to play a game before. I don't know. But they made it a game. They made it an entertaining season. Got the 3 seed. Won the quarterfinal game against CSUN, which I know a lot of people were tired of, like, oh, the team being one and done and whatnot. So for the most part, I mean, I know the seniors are very, very disappointed. But it did, in hindsight, feel like a very... a season that was redeemed, a season of up and downs, a lot of just like, I know the fans out there got a little crazy, and I know they still will in the offseason, as we, you know, Iran has already, he went from Las Vegas to hit the recruiting trail because, yeah, the recruiting starts now, losing all of those key guys. I mean, almost your entire starting lineup, all but one guy in your starting lineup is going to be gone. And considering if Jovan didn't get injured or he was still starting, it would have been your entire starting lineup that was gone. So that's huge to replace. I mean, we saw Akita Jacobs start to get better. He's getting more comfortable, more confident. He has the size, which we always talk about, which is great because you can't teach that. Same with Ryan Rapp and Tom Beatty. But, I mean, to replace some of these other guys, like
You're losing,
need to
like,
get some guys in here.
75% plus of your production in points and probably on the glass, because Bernardo has been a huge, huge help on the glass ever since Morsek went down, who you still don't know if he'll be ready for the start of next season. You obviously hope he will be. But
he's also still learning, like, he's still getting his basketball IQ. He doesn't have the basketball IQ and the...
he's still developing.
Discipline,
yeah, he's
because
still
because we can see a lot
how
of
long
his
has he even played basketball
like 4 or 5 years.
Exactly, yeah. He's not. It's not like he has been developed like a lot of these American prospects from. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, how many players do you hear? Oh, from 3, I've been training on like a 8-foot hoop to get my shot formed out. You know, like he's developing, and you'd love to see him take over that starting role next year. But you also don't want to put that pressure on him coming back from an injury to push himself to go too hard too quickly. You want him to continue to go at his own speed. So very curious to see how Hawaii hits the transfer portal, how some late cycle recruiting goes. There's there's a lot of ground to make up now after losing six seniors from this year's roster, and there's some ways to get better too, yeah. And I'm excited about that.
But also, when you go back to Morsek, though, the fact that he is so new to basketball and he's only really known this level of basketball with these seniors, and now that they're gone, you know, some of that chemistry is, I mean, we saw for a little bit, like him, Moore, and Jovan McClanahan started to have that real good connection. So for a young basketball player like Morsek, I mean, that's going to be an adjustment too, to see whoever comes in, whoever is going to get the shot at running the point, maybe even being that two guard. Like, there's going to be some growing pains to figure out in the offseason and like at the start of training next season. Because again, he's a young player, you know, mentally. He hasn't played for a long time. And the comfort that you once had with the veteran players around you is not going to be there anymore. So could be difficult to just, obviously he has a size. He has a size, the fans love him, but there's a lot that people don't see when it comes to basketball. And I think, like, especially for me when like playing soccer and basketball, chemistry is like so much more important in basketball, because it's like just a handful of players like on the court at one time. So you really need to just move synergistically, and it'll be interesting. And there's a lot to figure out in this offseason.
There is a lot to figure out, but I also don't want to make it sound as though it's the end of the world.
Oh, no.
I think that we saw already at the start of this year in the non-conference, you saw Tom Beatty start to develop that same chemistry with Morsek. So I'm hoping that, honestly speaking, Tom Beatty's the meal ticket for me for this Hawaii men's basketball team, where I think that's a guy who can take a huge step up next year. I truly expect him to compete and take over a starting role full time.
Mm-hmm.
He's got good size. He's strong. He's already competed at a high level before even coming to Hawaii. You saw him get about 32 minutes in their semifinal loss against UC Davis. At times he was guarding Elijah Pepper, other times T.Y. Johnson. He's a guy, and a guy who can really develop quickly for the Bows. I'm curious how quickly that development goes. And then, obviously, Aaron Hunkin-Clater, who just lost in the state final in California at the highest level against a USC commit. They ended up falling by, I think, 3. He's a guy who I'm excited about as well. Who knows if he's able to come in, compete for some time early on as a true point guard, great passer, good defender as well. And then I love Akira. Like, I think he's a guy who's going to develop really, really quickly in this offseason. And that's what I mean, is we saw during this year, and that was in limited playing time. You give him an entire offseason in this program to work, get stronger, get faster, work on skills, and then you kind of put him into a more prominent role next year. I'm excited about the youth on this team and how quickly they can develop, especially considering the experiences they've gotten overseas.
Yeah, but closing the chapter on this season so far. So again, mahalo, Justin McCoy, Bernardo da Silva, Juan Munoz, Jovan McClanahan, and Matthew Cotton for just an incredible time with Hawaii. And it'll be a new look team next year, but you know what? That's college athletics, and we'll see what happens. But we'll be right back to recap the University of Hawaii women's basketball game against UC Davis in the semifinal. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Peace up. A-town. Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, we just got done recapping, for the most part, the UH men's basketball game against UC Davis in the Big West Conference tournament, and just putting a lid for now on their season this season. But one team that does continue on is the women's team, getting invited into the, or not really even invited, just the automatic berth into the new WBIT for winning the regular season conference title, excuse me. But before we get into that, and then you'll hear from head coach Laura Beeman coming up in the next segment about the team being able to continue on to play in this inaugural WBIT. First, want to just recap the game against UC Davis. I mean, it was a tough one. This was a real heartbreaker because it's one of those, like, you don't want to completely say that it could have been that long break and the double bye, but that's what it kind of felt like a little bit in this matchup with Hawaii and UC Davis. Just like the men's side, it was still a very, very close game. Davis essentially coming out on top, 51-48. Some of the things, like, down the stretch were tough to watch, like when they had those two free throws that Lily had missed and all of these other things that went down, even Hawaii shooting 9-for-13 from the free throw line, which isn't extremely bad. I think the turnovers were a little concerning, Hawaii having 16 turnovers and UC Davis able to score 16 points off of those turnovers. It got really, really a chippy, to say the least. Victoria Baker, she's probably Hawaii's fans, everybody's favorite, quote unquote favorite, which I didn't realize that she was also chippy when they played here, because some of the sisters that sit courtside said she was a little chippy, which I think the part that bothers me the most about her is that she's not that good. So, but she talks like the most smack nonetheless.
She got to make those 9 minutes and 33 seconds count, Koo.
It did get really, really chippy in there. Evan Turner, though, she was the phenomenal player that we expected her to be in that game. Whew. I'm like, there was just so much that went on watching everything unfold. I think because, like, this one feels more heartbreaking than the men's side because the expectation, like, we talked about it almost the entire season. We were like, oh, we're going to three-peat. And Paul reminded me in our text, because we were saying this for maybe like the second half of the season, that on paper, the Rainbow Wahine is hands down the best team, top to bottom, the best players, most veteran, just the way they played with each other and all of that stuff. And it would take a perfect storm for them to go down in the Big West Conference tournament. And that's exactly what we saw. And, like, what did you say? We got a Cat 5, basically, is what Paul said.
Category 5 hurricane. Just ripping on through. I mean, oh my goodness, Koo, between the shooting, the turnovers, which are so uncharacteristic, the free throws from some of our best players not going down, Imani still not being fully healthy, or at least looking fully healthy, Brooklyn Ruhr's a short day. I mean, in
and
general.
Then Deja and then Phillips.
Deja Phillips going down mid-game during one of the worst shooting performances of Lily and Olivia's seasons. I mean, 1-for-21 combined between the two of them. Laura Beeman talks about it a little bit in her postgame, where she mentioned two of your top scorers shooting 1-for-21, and that's very, very rare. And despite that, you still have a chance all the way to the end. Just shows how impressive this Rainbow Wahine team was. We're talking about how terrible they shot, how brutal it was, and somehow UC Davis shot worse. The only issue is that UC Davis was raining threes down, 11 three-pointers comparatively to the 7 made by UH, and that's your difference right there. And, well, a little more than your difference, I guess, 4 points to 3 points there. But either way, I mean, goodness gracious. Shout out to UC Davis for the performance that they put on, because like we said, it was going to take a perfect storm. Their defense was excellent, and they hit the timely shots when they needed to hit the timely shots. You mentioned Evan Turner before, hits a couple of late three-pointers to really sink the momentum away from Hawaii. And despite that, you still have two free throws to either tie or take the lead late. From there, one last-ditch chance, and you get blocked at the buzzer. It took everything and the kitchen sink to take down the Rainbow Wahine, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and when you look at, you know, the final, Deja Phillips only in there for about 10 minutes that before going down, which an injury that looked to be pretty bad. Obviously, we would we won't get an update about anything because we don't get anything about injuries or
whatnot.
She's
certainly still on the team.
Yeah, she's still on the team. In their Instagram story, she was technically working out in the gym, only doing like, you know, dumbbell presses, nothing with her legs, but who knows what's going to happen. She was still in the gym, but that is someone who we saw last year was the one that really stepped up and helped the Rainbow Wahine tremendously to win the championship. She was a tournament MVP last year.
I was going to say, wasn't she the most outstanding player of the Big West tournament?
She's the one that we mentioned. Like, she doesn't know what it's like to lose, so she will lose championship. She's won a championship every single time. This will be the first time she hasn't won a championship since she was in high school. And so she has that tendency to step up and be that X factor to essentially lift the Rainbow Wahine, especially in days where Lily is not having a good day. You'll see Deja really put it on her shoulders and take the Rainbow Wahine to the victory. But when you don't have her in there and her going down so early in the game, you know, a lot, like some of the players when she first went down had tears in their eyes already. So you're trying to get yourself out of that emotional space where you see one of your beloved players go down, not knowing her condition because she was in the locker room for a very, very long time, right? It's not one of those, all right, get off the bench, go to the side, get your ankle taped, and yeah, okay, you can't go, you won't be back in, but at least she's there on the bench and you see that she's okay. Deja was gone for like a good 10 minutes where you didn't see her return. I was texting you guys like, Deja's not back out yet. Deja's not back out yet. I don't know what's going on. Like, it must be bad. But if you're a player, you notice when your teammate isn't back yet. And so they had to go overcome that. And then the struggles in shooting. And I mentioned this last week. One thing that concerned me about the Dollar Loan Center is the depth perception and the lighting that's in there. It's very, very different from the Stan Sheriff Center and from all of the Big West opponents, even playing at, I'm sure, somewhere like Stanford and whatnot. It's one of those situations, and everyone that's been there, you guys will know that the way that it looks and the way that the basket looks, it's so different from anything that they're used to. So part of that, like, it's one of the reasons why I'm surprised but not surprised with how bad the shooting was. And I mean, maybe next year it'll be better shooting in there, but I just want to, you know, it's a difficult place to shoot, and being, especially, I mean, I'm there courtside at Stan Sheriff Center. I'm there courtside at,
you got the same viewpoint,
Dollar Loan, and it is different, especially as a former player. That messes with you a little bit, and especially when you don't see the baskets go in after a while, it tends to be a struggle. But nonetheless, the women do get to play on, get another opportunity to play the postseason, not the postseason that they want, but nonetheless, they get to make history, play in the inaugural WBIT because they won the Big West regular season title. But we got to step aside. So when we come back, we will have head coach Laura Beeman kind of tell everyone about how she feels about playing in the postseason, how the players will hope to be able to turn the page and go into this new game and this new opportunity. And yeah, we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. Let's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. All right, so we talked about the not-so-beautiful things in both men's and women's UH basketball teams losing in the semifinal round of the Big West Conference Tournament. However, at least fortunately for the women, they do get an automatic bid into the brand new Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament. Now, long story short, this is part of gender equity requirements, or maybe not requirements, but efforts by the NCAA. So the NIT, which is the men's tournament that we're used to, is an NCAA-sanctioned or sponsored tournament, aside from obviously the Big Dance, which they sponsor both men's and women's. But for a long time, it was only the NIT of the men's tournament that was sponsored by NCAA. The WNIT was not an NCAA sponsored tournament, postseason tournament. So the WBIT is officially part of the NCAA. So it's, yeah, long story short, just to kind of explain, everyone is like, what is like
the creation of it?
Yeah, the BIT, the WNIT. I thought there was already a postseason tournament. There was, but this
one's
is
better.
This is better because it's actually an NCAA tournament, and it is that way it makes it equal to the men's NIT, even though I know the names will still get tossed out there because people will be like, why is it BIT or NIT? Anyways, good thing is Hawaii gets another chance to compete because they won the Big West regular season title. They get the automatic bid into the Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament, which gets underway on Thursday. And Hawaii got their where they begin. They will play Cal, and they have to play at Cal. That game will be on Thursday at 4 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time. Before we kind of get into that and kind of look at the matchups and the rest of the bracket, here is what head coach Laura Beeman had to say following the selection Sunday show of the WBIT.
Yeah, you know, we're playing in postseason, and that's where we wanted to be. A little bit different tournament than what we wanted, but that it is what it is. So I think the girls in the next couple of days are going to get pretty excited about, you know, the opportunity ahead. You know, Cal is in the Pac-12, so they've played some really good competition, but I think that we can show up and give them a great game, and that's what our goal is going to be.
From how the Big West conference ended, just how hungry is the team to get out there and improve themselves in the postseason?
Yeah, I think right now it still might be a little bit too soon. I still think there's a little shell shock and there's still some disappointment. And, you know, we're going to get on the court tomorrow. And I think once we get back on the court and we hear the balls bouncing and, you know, can get a little sweat, kind of work through some of the disappointment, some of the just unexpected outcome, I think we'll be okay. But I think it's still going to take a little bit of time. You know, I did challenge them and I asked them that if they were not going to be mentally or physically ready, they needed to let me know and that we could go ahead and send them on back to Hawaii. That's not a bad thing. And but they could go ahead and go on back to Hawaii if they wanted to, if they're not going to be ready to play. And obviously nobody accepted that. So that's a good thing. I think they will be ready to go come Thursday night. I do think it will be hard. I think they're going to have to overcome some of the disappointment even during that game, but I know that they're very, very capable of doing that. This team has done an amazing job this year, has done amazing things this year. We can do more.
Hey, Coach, I know, you know, the good thing is you got four more days to kind of try to turn the page, and you mentioned it's going to be tough, but just for you, you know, at the end of the day, as tough as it was 2 days ago, how maybe excited are you to get a chance to coach these girls at least one more time this year instead of maybe not having this tournament?
You know, that's why I do what I do. You know, you want to win. You know, that's the icing on the cake. But bottom line, once this season is over, this group won't be back together again. And I don't know if the young ladies are capable of processing that and what that's going to feel like. So it's our job to kind of let them know, hey, guys, this is the last hurrah. And let's make something really special out of it. Just because it's not what, you know, we wanted, it doesn't mean it still can't be something remarkable. And we're just going to have a lot of conversations and get some energy going and, you know, figure out the leaders on this team and get them to have some good conversations with this group. But absolutely, that's why I coach. That's why these kids play, is to be able to play together.
Just curious, it's the, I think, first year, inaugural year of this Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament. And I know it's not the tournament you guys were hoping to be playing in this upcoming week or whatnot, but still a chance to kind of make some history here as the first iteration of this event. I'm just curious about your mindset going in a little bit further and just your thoughts of the first iteration of this event.
Yeah, you know, I think it's great for women's basketball that we have another tournament where it's not pay to play. You know, I'll never get into pay to play. That's just not my style. I'm not doing it. So to have a tournament that they're taking seriously, it sounds like they're going to make it a very good event, well-run event. I think that it's time and women's basketball deserves that. So to be a part of this inaugural tournament, I think is great. You know, definitely want to keep playing, definitely want to put a mark on it all. So yeah, you know, we're looking forward to it. I'm curious to see how it's going to be run. I'll probably have a little bit more information for you, you know, once we get at least through this first round. But, you know, excited to keep playing.
And then also, I believe, if my math is correct, and it's always a little shaky, but in total between the WBIT and the NCAA tournament, I believe that's five different teams that you guys ended up playing that are continuing on into postseason play. Just curious about future scheduling and whatnot. I know you always talk about these important contests, these off or the non-conference matchups. If you're pleased, then, you know, who knows? Maybe you get a chance to play against the Washington again, against one of these teams that you saw already. Just your thoughts about their years as well as you go on in and your schedule.
Yeah, you know, I think that our scheduling in the preseason, you know, our record is always a little rocky, you know, preseason, but I think people are kind of used to that now. You know, we've done this now for about 12 years. So I think that people kind of understand what we're trying to do. To be able to play a team that we played in the preseason after some growth would be really fun, to kind of measure ourselves up against the Washington or, you know, somebody like that. But, you know, right now it's Cal, and, you know, they finished, I think, eighth, ninth. I'm not sure exactly where in the Pac-12, but it gives us an opportunity to kind of see where we, you know, measure up to them. So, you know, we're going to continue to schedule our preseason hard. It gives us something to fall back on. We've been there before. We've seen the bright lights. But yeah, I would love an opportunity to beat a Pac-12 school this year for sure.
Yeah, Coach, you know, just to kind of follow up on what you said earlier about, you know, challenging the girls to be ready tomorrow. And it sounds like tomorrow will kind of be the day to kind of move on, but is it still a little bittersweet, a little tough, even 48 hours right now to kind of get excited about this thing?
I don't think it's hard to get excited about the WBIT. I think it's hard to shake off the loss of the tournament, you know, and I think you can do both at the same time. I'm excited to play. I'm disappointed that we're not in the NC2A tournament. You know, definitely. You know, we did all the right stuff all year long, and we just picked a bad day to be bad, and we were bad. So yeah, there's definitely that disappointment. I don't think it goes away. Even if we were to win the whole WBIT, I don't think that you're going to look back and say, "Oh, how fun was that?" You know, the loss of what we were trying to accomplish and the way we went down. It's going to stick around. I don't think you ever lose it. I think it just, you grow and you move with it. I don't think it goes away. You move with it. It's kind of like when you lose a person, and I'm not comparing basketball to a person, but you don't get over someone dying. You know, you learn how to deal with it differently and you move differently through that loss. I think it's very much the same way with this team. We're not going to forget this. We can't get this opportunity. And, hopefully makes us better, motivates us.
Thanks. And then just lastly for me, just kind of a random question, but did you have a, were you surprised or what'd you think about Irvine getting a 13 seed?
I was surprised. But you know, their net RPI was, I think, pretty good. I thought they were probably going to go 14. So I think 13 is really good for them. You know, their preseason was good. They played some tough teams and did well in conference, obviously. But yeah, I think last year we went as a 14 and we were surprised and we played some really good competition. So I think some of those wins that they get, it really helped them. And for the sake of the conference, I hope they do well. They got a tough draw. They got a tough draw, but I hope for the sake of the conference, they do well.
And that was UH women's basketball head coach Laura Beeman talking about their team being selected or getting the automatic berth, being that they were the Big West Conference regular season champs into the inaugural Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament. And if you missed it before that interview started, basically the difference is the WBIT is to be equal, you know, gender equity wise under the blanket or of the NCAA to the men's tournament that is the NIT. I know people have heard of the WNIT, but that is not a NCAA sanctioned event. So the WBIT is there to provide these opportunities for women's basketball. And fortunately, like, this is a legit tournament where it gives really, really good basketball teams like the Rainbow Wahine this chance at the postseason, considering they were clearly the best team in the Big West Conference, undefeated at home. Like, they were by far the best. They had one horrendously bad game. not taking it away from how well UC Davis did, but collectively, the Rainbow Wahine were the best team. And to say that they wouldn't get an opportunity to play in the postseason would just be even more heartbreaking. So this just fortunately gives them a chance where they can, you know, potentially redeem themselves after playing a really bad game. And what Coach B said is completely right. I mean, Paul, you and I, we were competitive athletes, and this would sting because your expectation, I mean, if for fans were heartbroken, like I can only imagine, especially being in that situation. I mean, I didn't play Division I basketball, don't get me wrong, but being competitive, getting to championship situations and having it slip away and having the expectation that you were supposed to win. I mean, that is heartbreaking. And like Coach B said, you know, you don't really get over it per se. You just have to learn to deal with it. The team returned to practice today, and fortunately they'll have until Thursday before they return to the court, but it is going to be difficult. Like, I just need to say that for a lot of people that maybe have never been close to that type of situation as a competitive athlete to happen the way that it happened for especially a player like Lily. And I really hope that, I mean, she's going to be hard on herself. We all know that she's competitive. She's a baller. To have such a bad game and to feel like everything went incredibly wrong, it's going to be difficult for them to turn the page on that game. And I think today is still going to be a struggle, but you know, you got to take it day by day, and hopefully they'll be mentally prepared to face Cal come Thursday. But by no means is it going to be easy to get over that type of loss again, because the expectation that we had as fans, they had the same expectation in the locker room that they were going to win.
Probably stronger.
Yeah, the regular season, the tournament, they were going to get a higher seed in the NCAA tournament and potentially get a first round upset and move on to the second round of the NCAA tournament. So I understand it. I'm glad Coach B was able to kind of explain that about the mental space of her team. But hey, we're all here for you. We're still cheering, and we're going to beat Cal. Moving on to the second round.
I am unconcerned. Listen, this is a team that has fought through adversity all year, has fought through adversity the past few seasons, and has a championship mindset all the time. Despite falling short this season, they didn't fall short during the regular season. Mm-hmm. This is a great team that, guess what, now gets an opportunity to wash that bad taste out of your mouth just a week afterwards. That's a nice opportunity for you, and I feel very confident that they will flush it, be able to go out, play with a clear headspace, and give their best effort, because like Coach Beeman said, we're here for a postseason win. That is what our goal always was. That has not changed. And she told the players, if you're not here, if you're not mentally here to play, you can head back to Hawaii. And apparently nobody headed back. So
they're still there.
Still there.
They'll be good to go. So Hawaii again plays Cal in the first round this Thursday, 4 o'clock p.m. Hawaii time. And Cal is the 2 seed in that portion of the bracket. And if they win, they will move on to play the winner of St. Joseph's and Seton Hall. The number 1 seed in that area of the bracket is Villanova, finishing off the season 18-2. Cal was 18-14. We'll definitely have a more extensive preview of that game as we go through, possibly on Wednesday or Thursday of this week. But nonetheless, Hawaii still continues their season. So when we come back, though, we will take a look at just the early bracket matchups. And maybe, of course, you know, we got to look at the odds when we come back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Stuck on you. I got this feeling down deep in my soul that I just can't lose.
We're stuck on you, college basketball. March Madness is here. Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
Ooh. Oh my goodness. This is like probably my second favorite sports time of the year. Of course, next to like the NFL playoffs, definitely NCAA March Madness is probably, yeah, right up there with the NFL playoffs and, of course, the Super Bowl. So it is finally here. We will indeed have a bragging rights NCAA Men's and Women's Bracket Challenge. So be sure to look out for that. If you guys want to get the direct link, you can text us at 808-888-KG1. That's 808-888-5481. And we will send you directly. It's, you know, being that if you guys don't like follow us on social media and everything, where we'll post it as well. So you can text us and we'll send you the direct link to just participate. And hey, if you're able to continue to win throughout the tournament, you'll get shout outs on the radio. We don't shy away from that. And maybe bragging rights when, you know, you beat Paul, because you're not going to beat me. So just kidding.
Not going to beat me either.
No, I'm winning, but it is.
What is it? The Warren Buffett, $1 billion for a perfect bracket.
Gosh. Yeah.
You want to talk about a way to really, I will get Aloha Stadium built. I will get Aloha Stadium built, ladies and gentlemen.
With our perfect brackets and definitely from both sides. All right. So we don't have too much time left. So we just want to give you a quick rundown of both the men's and women's brackets and take a look at some of the odds. Before Thursday, we will talk extensively about our predictions and whatnot coming up. But first things first, all right, taking a look at the women's side, no surprises in getting your number one seeds. Well, I guess maybe one, not surprise, but historic in a sense. So South Carolina, not one of the surprises, getting a one seed for the women's basketball tournament. Iowa, another one, of course, that's been the big storyline as Caitlin Clark finishes her collegiate career. Texas is the other one seed in the Portland bracket. And then in the other Portland bracket is USC, led by freshman phenom Juju Watkins, who I think Arash had put been like a seeded team and like since the 80s or something ridiculous. So
yep.
It's been huge for USC and
something about the numbers like 86, 87, somewhere in that range. Arash, I can look up the tweet real quick, but yeah, shout out to them, because Juju Watkins, the next cyborg in women's college basketball, and she has really arrived quickly on the scene, and I'm excited to see how far she and the ladies of Troy can push themselves in this year's March Madness on the women's side.
I mean, the crazy thing is, just when you think one electric player is leaving in Caitlin Clark, a future star is just getting started in Juju Watkins for USC. But it's the other SC team, that is South Carolina, that is the outright favorite to win, and at minus odds too. Like if you look at the men's side, everyone's plus odds, but South Carolina minus 135 to win the women's college basketball tournament, followed by Caitlin Clark in Iowa at 6-1. Then you have LSU at plus 750. Other than that, after that, you got extensive odds like Stanford at 15-1, along with Texas, but USC 30-1. Equal to UCLA, surprisingly, actually. So that's interesting.
USC is the number one seed for the first time since 1986.
That's what it was. Thank you very much. Yeah, so that is crazy. Doing big things. All right, taking a look at the men's side, your number one seeds are UConn, defending champs, Houston, Purdue, who lost a shocker to Wisconsin, but that was a very, very interesting game, and North Carolina. North Carolina is kind of the surprising team that was somewhat able to turn around their season, but and looking at their odds, UConn is the favorite at 4-1 to repeat as the champs of the NCAA tournament, followed by Houston at 6-1, Purdue at plus 650. Then there's kind of a significant drop off with Arizona at 11-1 and North Carolina at 13-1. Early predictions, Paul, what are we going to go with before we get into our more detailed preview throughout the week of how some of these tournament matchups will go? But since we don't have a lot of time left, let's just give our Monday morning predictions of the out. Who are you putting in both your men's and women's brackets to make it all the way and win the championship?
Monday morning pre-coffee, you got South Carolina on the women's side. I just have a really hard time picking against Dawn Staley for the men. Tough time to pick against UConn. I don't know if they go back-to-back, so I'm going to pick Houston instead.
Ooh, I'm going to go UConn back-to-back, and I'm going to go Iowa on the women's side. But we got to go. So for Paul Brecht, I'm Kukule Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening.